99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media, KKFT.
775-884-9910 is our phone number. We are live and local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
John Potter and Jay Biggs, and Aaron Sims is candidate for Nevada Senate District 16. That district covers South Reno, Carson City, where folks live, Washoe Valley, Story County, Incline Village, and Verdi. Aaron is a Democrat running against Republican Lisa Krasner, who may be vulnerable. She only got a third of the vote in her primary. How are you feeling about your chances so far, Aaron Sims?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, John, and thank you, Jay, for inviting me on the program. Yeah. I'm excited to be here. You know, this is a very interesting election, as I'm sure both of you have seen that, right? So I'm actually feeling pretty good. This would, if there's any chance that we have of ever flipping this particular Senate district, it would be this year. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Nice. Well, Carson now says your top issue is housing. You want to cap rental prices and reduce inflated property prices.
So here's the thing. Interesting. I didn't see that from the Carson now. I'm not actually a fan of rental caps. Let's put it that way. I'm open to the discussion, but that's not something that would pragmatically work in Northern Nevada. So I'm gonna say that right now. But
yeah, that scares a lot of people.
It does. And understandably so. But there's also a lot of layers of systemic things that would prevent that from happening here in Nevada. But what I am very much focused on is, of course, ensuring that people in our state have the ability to have a good home or a foundation. And if they have that foundation, they're able to then better be productive in our communities, go out, get a good job, get trained, and then be productive members of society. So that's what I'm focused on.
So you're basically saying, Aaron, that if someone has their home and that part of their life established, then they can focus on other things and grow.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I mean, fair enough.
And that's how it is for a lot of folks that we've seen, right? That if you have a strong foundation, and that works with anything, right? It doesn't matter what your background is.
Right.
But if you have a strong foundation, you're out there, you're able to get educated if you want, if you so choose, or go out into the workforce directly, which I'm a strong proponent of, if that works for you. Either way, you need a strong foundation in order to be productive and a good member of society.
Well, speaking of which, education reform, I guess, is your second biggest topic that you're campaigning on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot to reform with education. What's your take?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm sure you both are familiar with how constraining our budget is, our state budget. And it's made to be that way, right? You know, back in the 90s, we passed that measure, that ballot measure that put us to a 120-day session. And because of that, a lot of folks had to then create this very constraining budget every year for the biennium. And so moving forward, you know, we've had a lot of different promises from a lot of different folks running for office. You know, this is how we're going to expand education. This is how we're going to do this. But you can't actually do too much, unfortunately, because systematically the budget is very constrained. That being said, there are ways to go around that, right? We have the general fund, and then we also have what's called single-use appropriations. And when we get a certain amount of a surplus, we're able to then, you know, put more money towards things that, you know, maybe we feel is better for the state of Nevada. I'm a huge proponent. I don't know if you folks have heard this, but I'm a huge proponent of the Time for 20 plan. And this is the idea that we reduce class sizes across the board, right? Yeah. Because that's going to help teachers. It's also going to help students. They're going to get more individualized learning.
We had a teacher shortage. I mean, wouldn't that require a whole new slew of teachers?
It would. It would require a lot of teachers. It would require...
Well, if we can hire for the IRS, we can hire teachers, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But again, this goes back to, you know, we need to properly allocate money in the budget in order to do that, right? And that's where a lot of this comes from. It's not just about, you know, throwing money at the issue or whatever. It's about proper allocation of funds. And then specifically, what does each school district, how do they allocate their funds? Now, I believe that school districts have the absolute right to, you know, govern the way they want to, but there needs to be better oversight in terms of ensuring that we have, you know, better paid teachers, but teachers who are, you know, there because they love to be there and they want to be there. That's what we want for our kids, right?
Aaron, you mentioned the 120-day session with the budget, with the Nevada legislature. Mm-hmm. You want a full-time Nevada legislature, not just every 2 years.
Ideally, yes. I mean, that would be great. And the reason is because, look, regardless of what anybody feels.
Oh, here's what I feel.
Okay.
Actually, I like it the way it is because the stuff they come out with, sometimes some of us think the less from them, the better.
Oh, of course.
Now,
no,
what's,
yeah.
What's your take?
Then, and that makes total sense to me. I totally understand that. I would make the argument that sometimes the stuff they come out with because they're in a rush to try to push it is because of that 120-day biennium legislature. But, again, that could just be a difference of opinion. In an ideal world moving forward, we would be able to have a more full-time legislature. That's what I'd like to see. But that would be predicated on a vote by the people, right? Because it was created in the 1990s by a vote of the people. So that would be something that would have to come from the people of Nevada. Now, a lot of folks, of course, who currently serve in our state legislature would be very much against that, and I understand why. But that would be a goal, a long-term goal, I think. And the reason why is because regardless of how anybody feels, we are expanding as a state. Our population has expanded tremendously. It doesn't make sense anymore to have a legislature that's not able to properly address the issues that are facing all of our communities. Because, yeah, I'm sure you know how it works. A lot of our communities have to go to the legislature every other year and basically ask, Mother, may I, before they can do anything. And when that happens, yeah, oftentimes these communities are not able to get the proper funding or the proper zoning. You know, if they want to update their zoning laws, they're not able to do that because everything is so backlogged. So what I'm trying to say is, in an ideal world, that should be our goal. We should push for a full-time legislature. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. You know, I always talk about the fact that I'm a pragmatic person. And
yeah, and that shows up when you talk about redistricting. Your theory was it should just go by population, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's the fair way to do it. And what we should be doing, instead of all this gerrymandering and stuff, is we should be fair as possible to the people of Nevada. That's what I believe in.
What do you think of your opponent, Lisa Krasner?
I think Assemblywoman Krasner has had a distinguished career. And I think that, you know, she has quite a lot of experience. I mean, we all know that. But I didn't get into this race to talk negatively about my opponent, and I'm not going to do so. You know, her and I do have a lot of differences of opinion on different things. But her, you know, she has a full record. You know, I'm obviously the outsider. I've never served in the state legislature. So I don't have that record to fall back on, but she does have a record. And, you know, it's important for folks. It's obviously public. It's important for folks to pay attention to that record.
What's your background? So you haven't held public office before?
No, I have not. So that's what's interesting. I actually spent most of my life in the Republican Party. The largest city I've ever lived in has been Carson City. I'm a rural boy. That's the way it is.
Wow.
What happened to you?
we all have different mindsets.
We do. Yeah, we do. And, you know,
that's the beauty of this world, honestly, is that we're not all the same, kind of.
Exactly. I mean, I think we should celebrate that diversity of being different, right? And then, John, so to answer your question directly, you know, I grew up in a very conservative, evangelical, specifically, household, right? There's some things about me that might not be, as you can imagine, approved by my parents or, you know, other folks. So here's the thing. I love to tell people this. I used to say, you know, I got very involved and interested in politics at a very young age, at the age of 7. And that's kind of what happened. But it wasn't politics so much as it was civics. In the town that I grew up in, my dad was the fire chief, right? So we had, you know, our family name was fairly well known in our little town.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that caused me to be interested in civics was the fact that we didn't have a library. Like, I'm 7, I'm like, why don't we have a library in this town? We have to go to another city in order to just go to a library. So one of the things I loved to do as a kid is I loved drawing. And I loved drawing. People thought I would become an architect maybe someday because I love drawing buildings for whatever reason. And so One day, me and my best friend at the time, who lived across the street, we started drawing this library, these plans for a library. And I said, you know, my dad's a fire chief now. You know, maybe this can go through. And I remember tugging on his coat every day he'd come home from work. You know, hey, have you talked to the mayor? Have you talked to Mayor McKee? You know, look at my designs. Well, Aaron, you're too young. You don't understand. Right. Which, and by the way, I love my dad. I loved my dad very much. He's the most honorable person in my life. But so I'm not trying to speak ill of him. But it was just that simple thing. Right, and I remember thinking back then, why do I have to choose a side if I want to be influential? If I want to get into civics or politics, why in the world do I have to choose a political party? So early on, my parents were Republicans. It made sense for me to be a Republican. I grew up in that life. But, you know, I'm also an openly gay man. I'm also, I have... a lot of more diverse opinions than what has, and I say this with due respect to Republicans, of course, but a lot of other diverse opinions that just do not exist in the current Republican Party. And so it was interesting because I actually did a lot of work within the GOP. I even was vice chair of the Republican Party in Carson City for a while.
Wow.
But there, you know, it just came to that point where I couldn't wear a mask for certain things. And I had to be myself. So, honestly, John, that's where a lot of that comes from.
Well, you sound like me for COVID. I couldn't wear a mask for any of that either.
You've had Jay from the beginning here because of your bald head.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, hey.
You two have bonded here.
We have. Yes. We're bald. We got a bald brethren going on here.
Well, qualities.
qualities. That's important, let me tell you.
It is.
Ballotpedia asks these candidates questions, and the qualities you want in elected officials: integrity, honesty, ability to negotiate, and being diplomatic. Absolutely. Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
The legislator, you want to model yourself after, you say, Bill Raggio, even though you're a progressive, because he was a true statesman who governed rather than politicizing his office. He was that, and I'll tell you what, he was also protective of Northern Nevada.
We need
a protector for the North. The South is governing and dictating too much right now, and they're not like us. More of our state offices are held by them. The leadership of the Nevada legislature, Southern Nevada. I lived in Vegas for 10 years, and I knew the attitudes of the folks down there, what they think of us. The newspaper editorials that would complain that too much state revenue went north, in their view, of course, and they tried to pipeline water. From, you know, down south from the rural Nevada communities. This is all similar, by the way, to how Northern California wants to break off from Southern Nevada. We really are two different states, just like they are.
I hate to be the one to correct you, but I think you meant to say Northern California to break off from Southern California.
Yes.
And we do the same thing, right?
Right.
So here's the thing. I very much love and respect all Nevadans. But I am a Northern Nevadan, that's for sure. I also, you know, where I was born and raised, I was a Northern Californian. So I understand that battle, right? And, you know, we also, here's the thing, because you unloaded a lot there about some of the things
I
said on.
That's an issue with me.
That's okay.
You know,
that's okay.
I vote on where people are from.
Of course.
Because the needs and what the are wants
different.
Are different.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
They're different because they're regional,
that's
right?
There's an electoral college.
Oh gosh, let's not talk about that. So here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. We do things in Northern Nevada very differently when it comes to our elected officials, right? Traditionally, you know, in Carson City, and I've lived in Carson City now for over 12 years. You'd be able to walk up to the state legislature, the Capitol, and see your state officials. Talk to them directly.
I remember knocking on the governor's mansion door.
Yeah.
This was early 70s. And the governor would answer it.
Now you got to have like a COVID test. You got to have like a 2-week appointment. I'm just joking. But yeah, it's not the same.
It's not. And let me explain, by the way, what I was trying to get at with Ballotpedia and Bill Raggio. Folks who know me know that I do have a lot of strong progressive beliefs. And I do. But you have to be pragmatic. And you have to understand how things work. And I know that. I get that. For me, it's more so a long-term goal for a lot of the things that I believe in. And that's because I care about people. That's actually what guides me in doing a lot of this stuff. Because let me tell you, this is not easy, right? So anyway, the thing about the late, great Senator Raggio was that he understood, obviously, Northern Nevada. He understood how to get things done, but he was also pragmatic. And I appreciate that pragmatism when it comes to governing, because it's important. But the other thing is, again, that openness, being able to have an open door policy. On each, you know, I don't think on me, this is, I can't believe I'm admitting this, but on me, I don't have my business cards. I think they're in my car. But I have my cell phone number on all of my campaign business cards. I have my cell phone number on my website. Because regardless of if we agree or disagree, if elected, I represent all Nevadans.
Right.
You should be able to come to me and be like, look, I don't like the vote you made. Look, I have a problem with what you said.
It's open discussion.
It's open discussion. And that's what I believe in. That's public service. Not being a politician, being a public servant.
Boy, Aaron, I got to tell you, after traveling across the country, me and John have talked about this. In 2018, I traveled across the country, and I just had conversations with everybody. And I just feel like once we get in front of each other, doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever, and we start having civil conversations, we are so much more on the same page than Facebook or the news allows us to believe. And I truly do believe that. But I will say here, just because we don't have a ton more time, I got to give you some mad props, man, because, I mean, just since I've been on the station, you're the first Democrat that's come on, that's openly came on with us and talked. And I think it's important to have both sides of the story. It's very important. We are a conservative talk station, and it's not like Democrats want to come on and necessarily always talk to us. And it's very important for both sides to be on here and have these conversations to show people out there you can talk. It's weird that we don't have more conversation like this, honestly.
So, this is that bald head bonding I was talking about.
Hey, I'm whatever you want to call it. Being a conservative talk station, it's not like we have a lot of left opinion on here. And I think it's very important. It's like if we did the Roe versus Wade thing, if we did that, there's no way I would want to have just a one-sided conversation because we're a right-wing station. We just need to tell you what the right wing says. No, we have somebody coming here from the left, someone coming from the right, then you have someone coming that's a lawyer that tells you the real legalities of it, and then we come together on a conversation. You know, and that's how it should be. It shouldn't just be like, hey, here's the opinion. We should get all sides, and I think it's good.
I appreciate you saying that very much. And, you know, Jay, here's the thing for me. If you look at my life and if you understand a lot of the details of my background, I don't always do things traditionally, and that's just how
I am. You stand out.
That goes back to my ethical core, and sometimes folks don't understand that, but that's just who I am as a person inherently. I very much, of course, respect my party, and I understand why there's stigma when it comes to speaking on a conservative talk show, but, you know, 99.1 was played a lot in the car on my way to school by my mom. So I'm familiar with this radio station. I know very much, you know, what the beliefs are and stuff. But again, I'm here fighting for the working class predominantly of Nevada. That's really where my focus is, right?
Right, right.
And average everyday people. That's why I'm in this race.
Right.
Those are fundamental issues that I don't think are owned by either side. Those are beliefs that I think do transcend on all sides. We'll put it that way.
Well, we loved having you. It's been an honor. Thank you for coming by. Aaron Sims, the candidate, Nevada State Senate District 16.
Is there a place people can go to find out more about you online?
Absolutely. Please visit my website. It's simsfornevada.com, and that's for F-O-R.
F-O-R. So. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. I think it's been awesome having you on. We're going to be back. We got Blake Gunther coming in. He's one of our sales guys here.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking gold coins.
Yeah, that's all the rest of this hour right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk at Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
Live streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT 99.1.
Yeah, I know Jay has the traffic report, Craig, but he's the two bald guys. They just really bonded, and they're out in the lobby. What was that all about?
It's you. Live and Local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk at Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Yeah, completely guilty. Me and Aaron Sims out there having conversations about being bald. Sorry. Anyways. A guy who is not bald, for sure. It is none other than Alan with Northern Nevada Coin. Thank you for coming in this morning, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Alan Rowe is president of Northern Nevada Coin. And I'm going to start. We're going to get this first question out of the way, and then we're going to have a whole segment after the Fox News report. Where is the price of gold and silver going to go, Alan?
Well, that's the question that we get asked probably the most in our business. And that's the one question that I feel that nobody can truly answer. I mean, we can see climates happening, and we can see reasons for gold and silver to go up, but we can also see reasons for them to go down. So when it comes to the global scheme of things, we always tell everybody we're merchants, we're not forecasters, because we're here to help you buy or sell whichever way you think you want it to facilitate your merchandise going, but we just don't think we could actually predict which direction it's going to head.
Well, the gold coins right now are what, $1,700 a piece?
Correct. Gold has, well, it peaked earlier this year at a little over $2,000, and right now it's down around $1,700. And that's after in 2012 it had peaked around just under $2,000, drifted all the way back to $1,050, $1,100. And then it's risen back up. And so it's been pretty stable in the $1,700 to $1,800 range.
Nice. I do have one gold coin, and I call it my precious in my best golem voice. Holding that coin, I feel like I'm Scrooge McDuck. It has a great feeling to it. It's nice and heavy. How did you start with this business? I mean, you are the trader of gold and silver coins with, what, a couple of locations, aren't you?
Yeah, we have three locations.
Three locations. How did you start with this?
Well, in reality, for me, it started as a passion because I was just a young kid, and that was back in the days where you could actually find something in change that was worth more than what your change was supposed to be. Most of that was a wheat penny. You know, it might be worth 2 cents rather than just a penny. But as an eight-year-old kid, that was really fascinating to find. So my grandmother kind of burgeoned that into me, and over the years, I just began trading coins.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Jay.
No. Go ahead.
We're going to open up the phone lines for you, Alan. 775-884-9910. Folks, if you have questions for Mr. Northern Nevada Coin, he is here live in our studio and a lot to talk about. I have some fun stories about my collecting and mistakes that I've made. And there are mistakes you can make about this.
That's what you get for putting that penny on that railroad track.
So we're going to break for Fox News and be back with Alan Rowe of Northern Nevada Coin at 99.1 FM Talk.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1 KKFT. KKFT.
It's live and local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Our number 775-884-9910. If you want to call in, you have any comments or questions for our guests here this morning.
That's right. Alan Rowe from Northern Nevada Coin has seen more gold coins than Jeff Bezos' bedroom dresser drawer.
You got a little bit of a snicker out of him on that one.
Unlike my gold coins, Jeff's coins do not have chocolate inside. Alan Rowe, though, people are trading and selling if they have to sell nowadays. I mean, we got to, you know, pay the bills and everything, but they're also buying because this could be a very good investment. And does somebody have to go to a national company or an auction to get the best prices for a gold or silver coin collection?
No, that's not necessary. We're actually a national company ourselves here. We attend all the major coin shows around the country. We don't do auctions ourselves, but we can take in materials on consignment. If you need auction representation, we can probably get you more money by being your auction representative. You know, there are collections that are built out there that are very specialized, very high-end, and coins that people are just going to flat out battle over. And so those are the types of coins that you do need to get to auction. But conversely, there's a lot of coins out there that trade hands or that go to auction that we go out and we purchase from the auctions or purchase from other people that have purchased them from the auctions and, you know, in the trading around at the major conventions. So we're bringing material here constantly.
Well, we have other coin shops. So how are you different from the other coin shops? Is that one of the ways?
Well, it is one of the ways. I mean, ultimately, everybody can do the same thing, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all people, we're all doing business, but, you know, we're just one of those companies that has gotten out there, put ourselves in the trenches. I've been traveling on the road since 1993, ever since I started. And so that's part of our culture. I've
understand wholesale, I understand who the major collectors are in the country, I understand where the markets truly are, if, you know, something is going to be better sold on the East Coast or the West Coast. So we're out there, we're in the throes of it.
So you're traveling around trying to find coins and stuff like that. I mean, you're kind of like the those treasure hunters or whatever that are on TV that go around from place to place just finding, like, you know, really cool stuff to resell and whatnot. So you're out there actually physically trying to find new items for your stores all the time. It's not like you're just sitting around waiting for people to come in and say, hey, I got these coins.
Right, absolutely.
So let me ask you this, because this is definitely a question I wanted to talk to you about. And how often is it that you got, like, the kid that comes in that his grandpa gave him a bag of coins or something like that, and he has something in there that's just so rare or worth a ton of money that he had no clue? I mean, is this something that happens pretty often? Because my kid has done this a couple times where grandpa's given him, and even my grandpa gave me coins back in the day, or I have, you know, like penny books that, you know, are lined up with the different kinds of, you know, dates and names and kinds they are. How often do you get these finds that are just like, wow, kid, I can't believe you have this hanging out in your bedroom?
Well, it's really not all that often. A lot of the numismatics, as we call them, are out there and they're known. But we have had it a number of times. We had a couple stories here locally. One, we had a younger gentleman bring in a note, and the note was printed from Elko, Nevada. And mm-hmm. So it was a national bank note. And at that time, they were worth a lot more money than they are worth today. But he came in, and I wasn't there in the shop, and one of the employees said, hey, you should come back. You know, this is going to be worth way more than, you know, what its type value is. It's only going to be worth about $200 as a note, but because it was made in Elko, it's probably worth a lot more. And so he brought it back, and the first thing I thought is, how does this younger gentleman have this note? Mm-hmm. You know, is he really supposed to have it? And so I'm asking him, how did you get this? Oh, my grandmother gave it to me because I needed some money. Well, end up offering him $8,000 for it.
For a note?
For this note. And at that point in time, he said, well, maybe I shouldn't sell it. Maybe I should keep it. And so he actually took the time to think about it, research it, and then he came back a few days later with his grandmother to sell the note. So his story was completely legit. She'd had it in her collection for a long time, had no clue what it was worth. She
right.
thought it was a, you know, $50, $100, $200 note, and, you know, turns out it was $8,000.
That's like a Pawn Stars story right there. It's freaking cool. So do you guys have a lot of people that come in there and get appraisals? You know, like should people, if they're sitting around at home and they got some coins on them that they're interested in, I mean, is it worth it to come in and let you guys check them out? Or
yeah, you can always come in. You know, if you've just got something really quick, we're happy to just tell you what you have. You know, if it needs further research, things like that, we can certainly help you do that as well.
What mistakes do people make buying and selling gold coins? Are there fake gold coins out there that people come in your shop and you tell them, you have to tell them? Are there counterfeit gold coins out there that fool people?
Yes, our industry is fraught with that, especially with things coming
in this area, though.
Especially with things coming out of China now and the internet. And so the biggest mistake people make is if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And in coins, instead of saying it probably is, it's say it almost most likely is. Because what happens is there was a website, I don't know if they're still out there, I'm not going to name them. They're based out of China. If you type it in, you had to register with your email. But you could order fake gold bars for like $2 and $3 a gold bar. And they look and they feel almost exactly like our real ones.
I was going to ask you, how good are these?
A lot of them are very good. They're stamped. They're made very well. In our industry, we are out there, and we're on the forefront of that as well. I mean, one of the gentlemen that works for me here in Reno, mm-hmm. John Shook, he graded with NGC for 13 years. He's also part of the Anti-Counterfeiting Task Force in America. And so we're on the cutting edge of that, looking into that, making sure that these things aren't getting out there. And that's one of the things that's important, too, is that you're buying from a reputable place and a reputable dealer. Sometimes people buy a coin from their collection from somebody who's what we'll call a fringe dealer, somebody who's not really been out there too much or done too much in coins. And somebody thinks, okay, I'm getting a good deal because it's not costing me as much as it would from one of the big guys. But then when they go to sell their collection in 10 years, they realize, well, it wasn't really what it was supposed to be.
Did you ever see that Twilight Zone episode where the four crooks, they steal like $1 million in gold bars from a train, and they go to this cave, and one of the crooks is a doctor, and he puts them all in suspended animation for 100 years, and their thinking was that, oh, in 100 years, they're going to forget about this robbery, and the gold is going to be worth a lot more. So they wake up 100 years later. The old truck in the cave doesn't work anymore, of course, so they have to, like, trudge across the desert. Three pass out and die. And the fourth one there, he sees the space car coming, and he says, water, I'll give you this gold bar. I'll give you two gold bars for water. And then he passes out, and the woman in the space car goes, dear, what was he talking about? And a guy goes, he must have been mad. He seemed to think that this was worth something. And she goes, well, it was at some time, wasn't it? And the guy goes, yes, till they started making it or something. Here's my point. And he throws the gold bars in the desert, and the space car goes off. Will gold always keep up its value? Is there a threat from future technology able to create gold, like a man-made version that could crash prices?
Well, I mean, alchemy is definitely something that we've talked about throughout history, you know, spinning straw into gold, creating gold. And if somebody ultimately does that, yes, it could ruin the value of gold. I mean, look at diamonds.
Don't say that.
Look at diamonds today. You know, we also buy and sell diamonds, but on that market, that's changed dramatically. Man-made diamonds versus, you know, mine diamonds,
yeah,
is a tremendous difference in today's market.
You know, I always usually buy my diamonds from Helzberg, and it's because I've always been told they always have real diamonds. Well, last time I went in there, they started talking to me about these diamonds that they manufacture that they sell in there now, and I'm looking at them going, wow, you know, like, it's gonna save me a lot of money if she don't know. but seriously, I mean they look the same, but you know, it's like fool's gold.
Yep.
Fool's diamond, in a way, with that. So I'm sure that's something you guys have to counter there, especially at the store, you know, because you get a lot of people that come in there with things that are plated versus being solid.
You must have to break a lot of hearts.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, we don't, because really? A lot of people kind of know what they have, and they understand that, gee, if I bought this for $5 or $10, I'm not going to get $1,800 for it.
Well, there's different levels too, right?
For
of
sure.
Things, right? Like, I don't know for a fact. Like my ex told me that like Persian gold was better than regular gold. I don't know if that's the truth or not, because there's a certain quality or you know, like to them.
So in jewelry, there's,
or maybe they just really appreciate their gold.
There's
over
different
there.
Carats. So typically here in America, we make gold in 14 carat.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the Middle Eastern countries make it in like 22 carat or 24 carat, which is more pure and softer. So, but it's not as durable. So that's why we don't make it in those carats here as often.
Is your Carson City store like Pawn Stars? You ever watch Pawn Stars?
In a lot of ways,
do you have a Chumlee?
It is. We have. We don't have a Chumlee, but
it's like that's funny.
It sounds similar to me from what you're saying. People come in, they want to know what this is worth, and
well, and ultimately, day in, day out, we never know what we're going to see next. I mean,
oh, that's fun.
I've had, you know, days where you sit there and a lot of it's just very mundane, and then somebody brings in a special coin. We had a lady that was walking her dog near Virginia City, finds a $10 gold coin on the road. Well, this $10 gold coin had been run over and beat up. It was dinged on every side, but it was from Carson City. We paid her $20,000 for the coin. It was amazing. Yeah.
I wish Carson City was still cranking out coins like we used to.
I'd have a metal detector walking around town if I knew I'd get $20,000 of Carson coin.
Well, fascinating, Alan.
Oh, just real quick.
Yeah.
Alan, I heard a story about you. I heard you actually passed away one time at a dinner murder mystery that was put on by the Funtime Theater.
Oh.
Craig, our producer, worked with him or something. Craig, are you there?
I am here.
Usually
yes.
He's there.
I was the MC for the event, yes. And Alan was one of our deaths that night. He got to wear a sign around his neck that says, "Don't talk to me, I'm dead."
They do it in a classy way.
There you go. He, you know what? Probably when he's annoyed at work, he puts the same sign on, just goes in the back. Anyways, Alan, where can people find you on the web, or do you have a web address or a certain website or anything?
Yeah, so our website is northernnevadacoin.com.
Okay.
Typically, I'm down at the Carson location, but here again, I do travel for conventions. I get called out to buy collections in different areas. So if you're trying to contact me myself, get a hold of the office there, and you know, they can get you in touch with me. You know, I am reachable no matter, pretty much no matter when, but I may not be here locally, so I may have to set up an appointment for a later point in time.
Northern Nevada Coin, the best. And, you know, Jay and I have a policy. Your business has to have at least 4 out of 5 Google stars with all the reviews, and you, my man, are a 5-star.
Yes, business. 5 stars.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you go and check out the podcast after the episode's over, 991fmtalk.com. Friend us on Facebook. We have still got a little over another hour together.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of time still this morning, so make sure you stick around. Yeah, we're going to be live and local right here on 991 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
It's live and local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. You can find us online, 991fmtalk.com. You can also go and find us on social media. If we're friends on there like we should be, that's all good. But if not, go and find Live and Local with John and Jay or at On Air Conversations. John,
my coin collecting story, I didn't get to tell Alan. I took this when I was just out of college. I took this night manager position at a Motel 6. Oh my gosh, the stories I could tell you there. This was back when Motel 6 was really $6 rooms, and a motel chain was famous for not having phones in the rooms, which means all we got were cheating husbands.
Oh,
and wives would show up threatening to pound on every door till they found their scoundrel spouses. But I digress. I ran the front desk, and I would bring some paper money into work, and near the end of my shift, I put the dimes and the quarters I collected in change on their edge for a silver check. This was back in 76, and people were still using a lot of silver coins. And I ended up with a big bag of silver coins, which I told everybody about. And they were promptly stolen.
Oh, no. Wow. Sorry to hear that.
But that was my coin collecting story, and how it all began. And now I just have one gold coin.
Hey,
Blake is here.
Yes.
To touch on that real quick, when the state quarters used to come, when they first started coming out, they had this big fold-out book.
Yes.
And it was each state you could put the coins in.
Oh,
and it, you know, it correlated.
That's what I was talking about, having those books and stuff that, like, the parents collected.
Don't they still do that?
Those states they're all minted by now. It was like I'm not 100% correct on this, but I think it was over like a 10-year span when they were making all of those different versions. I'm not 100% sure, but I think all of them have been minted by now. So there's books out there somewhere that I'm sure if you have that whole collection and, you know, they're in good shape.
They'll come out with another collection. I mean, special issue coins are just too popular.
We're not there anymore. We're in the electronic age, you know, debit cards.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Nobody's using those no more.
Bitcoin is boring.
Bitcoin. I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's not.
You know, it doesn't exist. People like to throw their money in the air.
I love teasing the wife saying, I just bought $10,000 in Bitcoin. What?
Even Kathy knows, man. Come on.
So, Blake, you're here to get some money going yourself here.
Yeah, so basically I'm back in again. Just wanted to touch on, we did have some political candidates come in and on the show already. I'm just here 60 days out, a little under 60 days until we have our general election. I am wanting to reach out to everyone and anyone that is running for a public office. If you want to reach a lot of voters in Northern Nevada, this is the place to do so. And I'm the person that can get in touch with you, and we can make that happen. We have various programs and whatnot. We don't just do the political stuff. We also, you know, obviously we deal with businesses as well. But I'm really trying to get more political buys. I'm trying to get also, I guess there's been a stigma with not having, you know, a high Democratic presence on KKFT.
Yes,
I'm trying to change
Aaron,
that.
I'm glad you brought this up. This is a commercial radio station.
Of course.
Some of the guests you hear on the show are paid for their spot, as we say. All political candidates have to be paid for their spot. It's not like we decided to go Democrat here and bring in Aaron Skims because we like him better than Lisa Krasner or anything like that. It's because Aaron Sims realizes how important the listenership of this station is,
right,
and he contacted people in our sales department like Blake.
Yes. And as I said, really trying to beef up, even if they aren't Democratic or Republican, independents as well, school boards, you know, trustees, the list goes on and on. There's like, I think, 21 pages of candidates that are filed to run for the general election. And I might have reached out to some of you already. I don't know. I'm just trying to get more people in the door.
A lot of people don't know, too. We have to just, by law, they have to have equal time on each side.
Yes, we cannot favor one party over another. We do abide by all FCC regulations. There's paperwork involved with the buys. We keep an even slate. We're not favoring anybody. We're doing it all by the books.
Now, right. Absolutely. Really quick, there is one thing with the equal time. The candidate who wants to talk about their other candidate that was already on, they have to request that equal time within 24 hours.
Okay.
Very good point.
So for instance, if Aaron Sims is the person he's running against,
Lisa wants
to come on, Krasner wants to come on, then she's going to have to reach out. You got 24 hours.
Well,
clock's ticking.
I mean, I already plan on reaching out to her, so hopefully we can have her in. And
That matter, business hours? Because tomorrow is a Sunday.
You know what? I was told my phone is always on. If anyone does want to reach with me, you can contact me at 615-785-3006. Let's get you on the air. Let's get some results.
All right. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be back right here. More guests on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.